You're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Welcome back to another Six of the Saturday on NatCast Arena.
I am Dominic Ponteri.
And we are bringing you, as our title implies, some Sixers talk, wrapping up the All-Star weekend. Yes. Joel having a good performance in that. Uh-huh. Bulls game, some thoughts about that. Another win, six-game win streak, which is very, very nice.
Yes,
maybe a little FBI investigation talk, a little Crime Stoppers.
I got a little bit to talk about.
The Wire that. Unfolding.
A couple things are going on right now. Yeah.
And previewing the game tonight, Saturday, against Magic. That should be good, and we have Wizards tomorrow too. Yeah.
I mean, the Magic game, come on. I'm more focused on the Wizards.
Yeah, no, but it's still important. These are the teams you have to beat.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then later on, we're going to have Dylan come back in for afternoon skate. We got a little bit of Flyers talk. We got some topics to hit. You know, we got a goalie now. Finally got a goalie. Trade deadline's coming up. There's a game going on right now, actually. Dylan's loving it. He's watching it right now.
So if you see Dom very distracted.
Yeah, if you see us looking over to the right.
God, Nolan Patrick is handsome.
All right, so let's start from where we left off last week, All-Star weekend.
Yep.
Saturday night, disappointing, in my opinion.
The skills competition,
everything.
And the dunks?
Literally just everything.
You're disappointed?
Yeah, everything.
What specifically disappointed you?
I mean, first off, Joel Embiid lost the skills challenge.
I don't think we got any of our picks right, did we?
No.
I didn't really go back and check.
None of our picks were correct. I mean, the closest I got was the three-point competition.
Yeah.
My first and second were switched.
Yeah.
That was maybe the best highlight was Devin Booker setting a new all-time record for the three-point contest with 28 points. I think you can score more than 30 now with them doing the whole money ball rack. Because it used to be just one money ball in each rack.
Yeah, I think
and you could
right.
get 5 points or 6 points in each rack, and you could get 30 total. But now it's
like
a little
I said
more,
last
but...
week, though, the 3-point competition is by far my least favorite. Not that it isn't fun to watch, but I think the skills competition is way
oh, yeah.
fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I think the dunk competition
Everybody wanted to talk about Joel Embiid cheating. But
yeah, nah,
yeah, his answer was so clever. If you guys didn't know, in the skills competition, there's a part where you have to pass a ball into like this little hoop.
Like a tire.
Yeah. And you get three basketballs to try and do this. And Joel Embiid missed his first two. And the third one, he kind of just threw and kept going. Now, to the average person watching, you would think they would keep trying to do it. But he answered when I was asked about this and was like, well, it's smart. You don't have any more balls to throw.
Tap the forehead.
Got to keep moving. So Spencer Dinwiddie won that. Not going to say that I really watch his game or watch the Nets too much. They're the cesspool of the NBA.
They're not the cesspool of the NBA.
Bro, you go there, you hope to get traded and act sad when you get traded.
Maybe like 2 years ago. I think now it's more fun to play at. They're still not a great team, but I think cesspool's a little too far. That's a little mean.
Maybe.
I think if you're talking like the Bobcats when they went like was that 10-72 they
yes.
went? I think that was a cesspool. Nets are whatever above a cesspool. Yeah. Someone with a biology background could probably think of something better.
Dunk contest, I was disappointed as well.
It wasn't anything special. There wasn't about that like, was there a dunk that we'll be talking about in 5 years? No.
Larry Nance got robbed, in my opinion.
I wouldn't say robbed. It seemed like, I saw some people talk about this on Twitter, though. It seemed like the judges were trying to conspire to make it go a third round in the final.
Yeah,
and they, like,
and they messed up
the
math.
Math wrong,
I think it was
what?
DJ Khaled's fault, to be honest with you.
Poor guy. yeah. It looked like they were having a discussion like, hey, what scores are y'all giving so we can make this go? Because it would have been cool to see one more because that was a fun final matchup.
Yeah.
And it sort of ended on just a, I don't want to say anticlimactic, but it was just kind of, I was expecting it to go another round. It seemed like they were going to have it go another round.
Dennis Smith Jr. came out too soft. He I guess, was trying to warm up, not realizing that he only got two dunks. And he had the best dunk of the entire contest.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
And
that's
the thing about it, though, is like you. I don't even know what to say. Like, it's just, and then he was my pick. I wanted him obviously to win. But
and then you go on Twitter a couple days later and you see Oladipo doing a dunk that he had practiced.
Yeah.
He should have brought that out instead of the Black Panther dunk because that was just anticlimactic.
Maybe a little too topical too.
Yeah.
You don't want to get there's a fine line in the dunk competition, I think, between okay, you can do something that's maybe like pop culture-y, like the Vince Carter jersey or something
or like
that.
The Dwight Howard the Superman dunk that he did. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, and then like maybe just a little too like not on the nose, but a little too specific.
I get
you know?
It. Like, it's creative and like you
can you just jump over a car, please?
You're working all the hype. It you know, it's that extra creative part to the dunk.
Yeah.
You know, go to Chadwick, get the mask from him, put it on. Go into a dunk, but the dunk wasn't even that good.
No.
Like, if you did it without the mask, that would get like a 30.
Yeah. What was your favorite dunk of the night? I know mine.
My favorite dunk of the night would probably be Larry Nance's double oop.
That's what I was going to
say. Easy.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't even think I could do that on a Fisher-Price net if I was standing completely still.
Yeah, the double oop. And everybody was like, what was going on? And he's like, look.
That was one of those ones you really did need to see the replay for.
And when you saw the replay.
Even then, I don't know that for the average person. They would look at me like, what's the big deal? Like, that is ridiculous.
It's better than Dwight's double tap he had, in my opinion.
Or when Dwight just threw it into the net on the Superman dunk.
Or Blake Griffin doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But.
All-Star game thoughts, though?
Yeah, I want to get away from Saturday because I was
new format for the All-Star game.
I'm very happy
Team
with
Steph,
the format.
I did like that too.
It was successful. I like it. I like it a lot. I think that it made it more competitive because the guys were actually trying to go out there and win.
Teammates,
you know, there
facing
was,
teammates.
There was probably a little bit of trash talk going on. Oh, our team's better.
Absolutely.
Like we got the team. We got a good
absolutely.
So there was and you could hear it the entire time. They were talking about like the seeing defense being played in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Like, and that never
it definitely
happens.
It was like All-Star games in the past though, where the first half is generally a lot more open and guys have more fun. And the second half is especially the fourth quarter, the last 8 minutes usually where it really gets turned on, even in years past when it wasn't as competitive.
But now it's a little more throughout the entire game.
Yeah, you definitely saw more consistency, more engagement, I think, from some of the players, which is nice. Our boy Joel Embiid getting double teamed in the fourth quarter.
You know, I think it's great as a Sixers fan to see that, you know, your main guy is being respected by, you know, the elite
of the
NBA.
Best players in the
league. The fact that, you know, they give him the ball and have him shoot threes because he was hitting some deep ones too.
He was
going back and forth with Westbrook. And you know, seeing the defense that they're showing him as he gets the ball.
He should have, though, had that turnover late in the game. Durant and LeBron double-teamed him, and it went off his foot.
Yeah.
And LeBron, this was a sign that this was very competitive. LeBron, like, this was like a finals game to him. He was screaming at the referee because they did a review. I don't know how it didn't get overturned. It clearly went off his foot.
It did go off his foot.
And LeBron was very upset.
He's livid.
He had a clutch. He had a clutch block, too, against Paul George, like a minute and a half to go.
Yeah, he almost – they were talking about – they said it would be amazing to see if the All-Star game came down to being decided by a blocked shot.
Yeah.
And Joel Embiid could have won.
In a way,
that.
It did, yeah.
If they would have scored after that, they would have won the game.
Yeah.
But
– it was fun, though. I like the All-Star game this year. I hope next year they do televise the draft. I think that would make it even more fun. I had an idea. I was thinking about it. It would be cool if they had the families of, like, all the players come, like, it's actual draft night. They like bring them up. They put the whatever team jersey on them. They put the hat on.
That'd
they
be
could
cool.
have Adam
be
Silver
really,
there
that's
with the
funny.
First round pick. Team
that's
LeBron
awesome.
Takes like. I think that would be a cool. A
I
cool
think the Flyers just scored.
They did just score.
Provy.
Wow.
Flyers up 1-0 early. I like that.
Very nice.
Nice. No, I agree. I agree. I think I heard somebody talking about doing it like pickup style, like going to the park and stuff.
Yeah.
Just have everybody show up. They said, like,
there's a lot of room to play.
They said, wait till like 20 minutes before the game, like, with all the celebrities and the fans already in there and have everybody just show up.
You could do that on the Friday, maybe, to get more people to tune in to, like, the.
It's it's weird because
like the world game, because yeah. You need to know beforehand though, generally, like,
yeah, and they also have a day of practice where they can like plan some stuff together, and yeah. I mean, even though the practice is open and the players are just messing yeah. around,
I don't think the day of though would be the time to draft the team. I think you would want to know and have I think for like the media too would yeah. want to know who's doing what, and I think if you're like promoting the weekend, you want to know generally what team and who's on what team. But yeah, it would be cool either way if they televised the draft.
Yeah, I'm about it though. I like the draft. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool switch up.
And the better idea than the other one. Did you hear about them trying to restructure
the playoffs? Yeah, the play to get in.
Yeah, no, I don't.
I don't understand that concept, and I don't. The only
this
playoff
baseball.
Change that and yeah. the only playoff change I think that makes any sort of sense would be the 1-16. That's the only reform that
just,
I think
it's just would it would just be annoying to, like, let's say as a Sixer fan,
yeah,
having the Sixers maybe get matched up against, I don't know, I was gonna say Seattle. Let them go to Portland
before we
right.
On.
Let them go to Portland,
yeah.
and play a 7-game series, but then have to like pack up and like get another game in
what
the West.
What are you talking about, like the travel miles? Or
yeah,
something?
Like yeah. the travel practice. It wears.
I don't know if that's a concern
players.
As much anymore. I think today these guys they're all like flying private jets now. They all yeah. have, like they all have pretty good care and like
I think
there's way more awareness now of like players recovering and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think I don't see much of a problem with it the way it is. I don't know that it really needs to be changed. Like,
no,
you talk about the All-Star game being changed, which is obviously way different than the playoffs. Like, mm-hmm. there's not much. But that was something that generally people agreed, yeah, this needs to be fixed because yeah. it's just not as entertaining. It's not giving us as much competition. The playoffs, there's a case you made, obviously, that the West is stronger at the moment, but doesn't that sort of ebb and flow naturally throughout the years that the East can be stronger, like, for a few years?
East is on the come up now. The East has been generally weaker than the West for very long, like a very long time. It's been
10 years? Last, yeah. 10 years? Yeah.
So, the East is getting strong again, and I think that...
Make the East strong again?
Make the East strong again. I think that keeping the two conferences should happen. I was talking with Ryan
yeah.
the other day, and I brought up the fact of like maybe bring up like a cup match. Or like a cup style thing, reduce the season, so there's more games.
I get what you're saying.
And have like a conference cup or a whole league cup where it's like you have these games. Whoever wins gets an automatic like sent to, like berth in the playoffs. Something like I don't know how it would like work.
Yeah,
there's a lot of like little intricacies you have to work through.
I don't
like,
know that would work because I think if anything, you might need less games in the NBA than adding more. Because
but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but
reduce
like if
the
you're
season
taking
and then add these other extra.
So you would reduce the season down to what, like 70 games to like, or
maybe
76 or something.
Like 60 something, 65. Yeah.
Reduce them down to 65 games. Then no owner would go for that. No owner would go for that. That much loss in like ticket sales.
My hot take. That's my hot take right there.
Oh man,
take off.
I don't know about
games.
That. I don't know that that would work in the NBA, unfortunately. But moving on more Sixers specific here. Played the Bulls the other night. Important win. Not a convincing win.
I'm not happy about the win. And normally
What bugged you?
Normally as a Sixers fan, you can watch games like that and be like, oh, you know what? We got the win. We can be happy. You know, let's not pick the team apart. But this is one of those games where you can start asking a little more from our team. And I mean, we shot what? Awful from the free throw line.
Yeah, it was 14 free throws.
I
think we shot something like
we let
like
Bobby Portis go off.
Yeah, but like in the Sixers defense, the Bulls I think were shooting like 53% from three, which is like they were just red hot.
What's Zach LaVine couldn't miss.
No,
he was
Zach LaVine. Bobby Portis couldn't miss,
fire.
And Nwaba was also like
they all had career nights.
Yeah,
so it's annoying to see one of the best defensive pairings in the league and Ben and Joel.
Yeah.
And you know, you have two guys go for career nights and one guy go red hot on you.
Ben had a career night though, didn't he?
32 points. Yeah. Yes, he did. But the way the Sixers started the game,
was strong. Great. That first quarter was really good.
Crazy. And I mean, it's the third quarter woes again, and they let them come back. And
even in the second quarter, they pulled back at halftime. It was very nice.
But, you know, to see your top two guys get 30 points each was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, you had guys like Rocco struggling. JJ was off.
Yeah.
He was very cold that night.
Yeah, and JJ did not have his best game.
You know, you had to kind of hope that Saric was hitting threes, but they defended him fairly well. So, you know, Saric had to create. Looking nice,
very
though.
Tan.
Very tan Dario Saric.
I saw a very nice picture of him with some very beautiful women.
You see that retweet I gave you?
Yeah. I think that's where he got his tan from.
That Dario was living life on vacation. But, I mean, the only thing I could criticize Brett Brown on was not playing Rashawn Holmes and playing Amir Johnson and Trevor Booker so much that game. I think if you put in Holmes, he adds a level of intensity because he has energy and he's younger and, you know, he has that little spark offensively that they don't have.
Yeah.
And he'll grab rebounds with two hands. So I thought, you know, I wasn't the only one saying this on Twitter. I saw a couple of people say it on Twitter, like, put in Rashawn. He needs to play this
would
game.
Would Rashawn have really helped us in that game? Because we were getting killed from the three-point line. How would Rashawn help us?
We got killed from the three-point line, but whenever the Bulls would miss, we gave up.
We did give up that late game offensive rebound, which could have come back. There was a lot of situations. We should have lost this game, by the way.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It was a bad inbounds pass that Embiid intercepted. I mean, it was a smart play by him, but that should never.
The Bulls went full tank mode.
Honestly, maybe a little bit intentional
they,
of a.
They
of
were
a,
like, "Oh wait, we're winning this game. We're supposed to be tanking. Let's give the ball away."
There was about three or four plays though that when I was either watching or listening to that, I was like, "Oh yeah, I think we just lost this game." Yeah. Markkanen blocking and Embiid late.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what possession it was. It was definitely under 2 minutes. We shut them out. They get an offensive rebound and get to restart. That inbounds play, like those don't just happen. Yeah. Fouling Ben like that and him hitting the two free throws, like all of these situations leading.
I can't believe that he hit those.
Can't.
He hit the first one. I said, and
Thank
then
God.
He hit the second
at least the
one.
First one the first one at least tied it, and you know now
I
the pressure's
jumped
on
out of my bed when he hit both of them, dude.
Yeah, that was nice.
The other thing, Laurie was off. Markkanen,
yeah,
was
Laurie and Chris
cold,
Dunn both had really bad nights.
If Laurie was shooting the way he normally does, it would have been a bad night for the Sixers.
Yeah, but I mean, in a way, like you could say that was not Bobby Portis in his natural habitat.
Not at all. Like, oh my God!
You could always say, "Oh well, if so and so."
You know how angry I got? I don't like Bobby Portis. And
what's your beef with Bobby Portis?
I mean, first off, did you see what I tweeted about him?
He looks like
he dresses like Michael Jordan does, like with the baggy pants that don't fit.
But he doesn't
you
have the clout Jordan does.
Yeah, either. And like a really generic, like the casual work.
Is he a FUBU boy?
Like, no, not even. Bobby Portis was the guy like 10 years ago to wear the really baggy jeans with all the NBA patches on them.
Oh.
With the matching denim jacket.
He have a Tasmanian Devil shirt too?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, or no, he had the black shirt with the SpongeBob with the money and the bandana on. Yeah. Bobby Portis is a very intense player.
Those eyes will never make me feel safe.
If he actually scored 40 points, he may have lost an eyeball. I don't know, man.
Flyers just scored again, by the way.
Wow.
If you're watching at home.
This is nice. Dylan's losing his mind right now over here. He's trying to stay
as quietly
quiet.
As
yeah.
can.
Bobby Portis running down the court yelling, "I'm gonna get 40. And not getting 40.
You gotta love the energy.
I loved it.
You gotta respect the energy.
Also, he punches his teammates. So,
yeah, we never really got. Did we ever really get the full story out of that though?
He beat the crap out of
his teammates. Apparently, Mirotić was the one that threw the first punch. If I'm remembering correctly, that it was at first it seemed like Bobby just went out and just.
I'm not gonna put it past Mirotić to have said something to tick him off.
Like if I'm remembering correctly, there was not that it excuses that kind of behavior. Obviously, like you shouldn't be punching your teammates, but. It's what I remember was that Mirotić had like initiated some sort of fight with him, and that was the
Bob reaction. Portis,
not excuse
two piece,
though.
Two piece.
I think it was just
hit.
A one piece actually. It was one
just,
punch.
It was
man.
Just one.
I think
oh,
it was
wow.
just the one.
Oh wow!
Ding ding, lights up. talking a little bit, maybe outside even the NBA. I wanted to just touch on this because it's obviously a massive story right now. That's probably only going to be dominating headlines for maybe in the next year. This whole NCAA, FBI investigation, wiretaps.
Okay, agents. First off, it's not illegal. It's just an NCAA violation.
It is illegal because there's wiring fraud and conspiracies to commit fraud and all. There's all sorts.
I didn't know all of this.
Yeah, that's the problem with Sean Miller, Arizona's head coach, is actually facing right now, is not just the career like implications, because he's done now. You know, like, yeah. There's no way he recovers from this. Where is this money coming from? Is how is it being transferred? Is it fraudulent?
That's true.
Is the issue. That's why the FBI was involved to begin with. Normally,
because you know. I was gonna say, like, I didn't read into any of it. I kind of just went from what everybody was talking about on Twitter and going about it. And it just seemed to me like, you know, they just found, you know, kind of like the whole Reggie Bush thing where they found a bunch of people who were given money.
The problem is, though, this was a sports agency giving players money and encouraging them to go to, like, Adidas-backed schools and giving them either loans or, like, buying them dinners and stuff. Buying them dinners isn't that serious, but there was a lot of – they had a whole spreadsheet of players and
– Markelle Fultz being one
of them. The reason I brought this up is Markelle Fultz was on this list. Obviously, it doesn't affect him. It doesn't affect who he is in person, player, whatever. It's something to talk about.
Really,
it's interesting.
The rhetoric of all of it makes them sound like they're criminals and really bad people.
Well, it's a moral gray area, isn't it? Because the argument is that the NCAA isn't exactly coming from a very strong moral ground, are they? A lot of people believe these athletes should be either getting paid or like they should
at
least.
I'm one of those people.
Okay, so I want to ask you this. How should the NCAA pay players, though? Because I think you run into a lot of problems when you start saying that they should be paid.
The main problem that people bring up when going against players being paid is, how can, you know, you fairly pay all the athletes over every sport?
You run into a lot of legal issues, Title IX issues, if you're doing it that way.
Because, you know, you have sports like football and basketball, which bring in a lot of money for a college.
Probably
but then,
95%
you know,
of that.
You've got
money.
Like maybe a lacrosse team or, you know, the swimming team or whatever who doesn't bring in as much revenue. But when you think about it also, when you go into professionalism in these specific sports too, you got to think about your pay scale anyway, if you're taking it that serious.
The difference being, though, that there's already laws in place. Title IX is in place to make sure that there is no discrimination between students, male, female, whatever, at universities, at schools. If you're saying, oh, well, you as a basketball player, you're going to get paid $80,000 a year, but you as a track guy, you're only going to get paid like $500. That's, you know, like, and then you add the difference between men and women's sports, what they're being paid.
Unless,
is that,
I saw somebody,
I'm not a legal expert, but I'd have to imagine at some point there would definitely be an issue. What I always found ridiculous, though, I remember this with Johnny Manziel and like Terrell Pryor, and like there's been countless stories of this. When they can't make money off their own name and likeness, when they can't, you know, sign autographs and sell that, you should 100% be able to do that. I'm not sure that paying them outright makes a lot of sense, because then why even have them go to college?
Or like,
why not just do what LaVar Ball wants to do and have this mini pro league, or have them go straight to the G League? I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, but clearly, you know, we'll see what happens. This is obviously very early days in the investigation. We don't even know the full. You have to imagine that every team is involved with this. You cannot look at me and tell me Arizona's involved with this, Washington's involved with this, North Carolina State's involved with this.
Duke was brought up.
And that Duke and Kentucky, Louisville, we already know. They were probably like really the first team that we knew of all these transgressions.
With all the recruits that Duke can bring in, especially the three that they're bringing in this coming year,
you have to believe that maybe not even this year, but at least somewhere in the past, there has to have been.
I think – another thing I saw was somebody talking about every sport gets a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
And then what you do is you divvy it up and equally and share amongst all your players. Now,
men and women's sports are just
Every sport. And you can either choose to do that or like what you said, off your likeness. So you can either make money off of yourself or you can take your share of the team's money.
Okay, so it gives you like the opportunity to like to bet on yourself.
Exactly. So if you're one of those players on, you know, the basketball team that isn't, you know, the big name that isn't going to, you know,
you're a D1 player, but you're not going to the NBA.
Take your share. But if you're somebody like Marvin Bagley, ahead and do your own endorsements and all that other stuff. I was talking with Ryan watching the Sixers game about this, and you know, somebody why can't somebody like Marvin Bagley, not even wearing any Duke stuff or anything like that, but just using his name, you know, for maybe like a car dealership yeah. in Durham, like
should absolutely like be
help
able to
local
do
businesses in their commercials and stuff like that, or help, yeah. you know, help out the community and you can get paid for your appearance and,
yeah.
and get your I don't money. See a problem in get that paid. Whatsoever.
Like
exactly.
you at that point in your career have already made yourself, like if you just make it to D1 in any sport, not even just basketball, yeah. like remove any sport from this, you are already probably in the top 1%, maybe not the world, but definitely in the country in terms of athletic ability.
Yeah.
Like becoming a D1 athlete is by no stretch yeah. of the imagination easy, and you are already a very, very talented athlete at that point mm-hmm. in your life. You should 100%, you've dedicated at that point 15, 16 years mm-hmm. to becoming this person, become this player. You should, if someone says, hey, I'll give you $500 to like advertise my whatever on your Instagram page, or like just come down mm-hmm. and shoot a commercial, we'll give you this money.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah. 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 I don't know about paying players though, because then I think it's just, obviously none of us are legal experts and yeah. we don't know all the nuance of this, but I think you run into a lot of difficult areas, and how do you navigate that entire space when you're talking about who deserves what money and what share? Because, but I've always thought that it was ridiculous that players yeah. can't make money off of just being Johnny Manziel. Mm-hmm. Like that's dumb. That's so dumb.
You've got a, I forget what I was going to say, cause I looked away to the Flyers game, but, You're
losing your focus.
You also have players, you know, that, you know, one of the arguments is said that they get their education free. What's better than a free education? But, you know, some of these athletes with the sports that they play and what's asked of them from their sport,
it's demanding.
It's very demanding. Very difficult for them to get a proper education as yeah. well. You know, you've got times that the kids are going to miss class. You got times they're going to skip class because they're exhausted. You yeah. know, you go away on a long road trip to a tournament or something, and, you know, the last thing you're thinking about is your calculus homework.
Yeah, right? No, you're right. And but my
you've got practice, you've got team meetings, you've got lifts, workouts, you've got what else? You've probably got added stuff you've got to do with your team.
I know a lot of schools too. You have mandatory study halls for like your first year. Yeah. Usually, you got to do whatever many hours in the library. I get that, and I definitely agree. Like, there's a lot of student athletes, but at the same time, you sign up for that. No one is forced. Like yeah. in the end, you sign up to do that. You yeah. sign your letter of intent. You get your scholarship for that. And this, in a lot of cases, not everyone's on a full ride. Not everyone is like getting all that. I get it, but at the same time, a lot of these. You think of all the athletes, like 99% of them will never play pro in their life.
Yeah.
But they're getting either full rides or partial rides, or at least some assistance in going to school and getting a degree, which is helpful. And that's that.
But that also kind of comes back to my point about, you know, making the money off your name or taking the team share, because, you know, you're the player that isn't going anywhere in professional sports. You know, yeah, you're a D1 athlete, but you know, you could take your share, but you're still going to be able to get your education because you know that you're not the like
your odds of going pro.
You come out every day and you put your heart and soul into, you know, working hard for the team and everything, yeah. but you just know that there are players that are better than you and going to get more time.
Yeah.
You have more time to focus on your education.
Or if you're in a sport that doesn't even have really a pro scene, or that the pro scene, you could just get a normal, like, not a normal club, but like any other career and probably
like NCAA lacrosse.
Yeah.
Majority of the guys that even go pro work a second job just because you're a rower. Paid. Yeah. A rower, yeah. a swimmer,
a wrestler,
gymnastics, like wrestling. Yeah. All that. Know, kind of like,
I think that's the thing people forget too when we talk about the NCAA and all these situations, that it's not just basketball. It's not just football. There are so many other sports. Yeah. And even in basketball
even
and football.
Soccer.
Yeah.
Even
and
soccer.
Think of a football team. You have, what, 52 guys on a team?
How many of those guys go to the NFL?
7 or 8.
Yeah.
You know, and that's from like Alabama. Like you're getting 7 or 8, like, which is, you know, a top team. You know, like we need to stop with the notion of like, oh, you know, they're all going to make millions anyway. No, 99% of these men and women are never going to see a dime from whatever sport they play.
Yeah.
Unless maybe they like coach, you know, afterwards, or they do lessons or whatever. But, yeah, I just wanted to talk about that a little bit because I think there's going to be a lot more coming in the weeks, and I think this could see a drastic change that could affect the NBA ultimately, because if, I don't know, it's hard to imagine the NCAA anything changing really with it, the structure, and people have wanted it for a while. But if this ultimately leads to maybe the G League becoming more prominent, that's in a way good for the NBA, and it's good for the development of players, I'd say.
Again, I keep mentioning Ryan. He brought up some real good points when we had some conversation. And he said, turn the G League into just an academy.
Yeah, just, like you have in like Europe, like with
soccer
teams,
and everything
yeah.
else. Like make it an academy.
Yeah, make
and,
it make a local.
Have these
bring local
have
kids
these
out.
Kids, you know,
start them instead
the
of replace AAU, yeah. which has its own problems, exactly. ethical, moral, and financial.
Yes. And you have these kids come into an NBA academy where you have very good coaches and
yeah.
you know top quality people training, you know, these children who want to pursue a future in basketball,
yeah,
but
engage
also
with the community.
Also gain their education, you know, yep. and still get it. And if they
give them a
don't
structure.
Happen to work out in professional sports, they'll still have connections where they could get a job within the league, or you know,
or at the very least, they've had a structure that's built them into what you could say is a better person.
Yeah,
you know, being active like that,
and it helps out the communities
helpful.
Too.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a good direction yeah. that you would hope for it to go in. It's just. Implementation
yeah.
and how does that work?
It's a very foreign concept to people in America if you don't like watch soccer and see that kind of
not
stuff.
Even that
I mean prep you do have like prep schools
yeah,
and
yeah.
stuff like that you
but you
do.
Never start from like age like 7 or 8
yeah.
you know
and
really.
And again you know you have to go through all the hoops like you have if you're a basketball player and let's say you're a really good one you may be sent to Oak Hill
yeah
and you know basically, all you do there is go to school and play basketball
because
there isn't anything else to
do
out there.
The problem you run with America, too, this happens a lot with soccer, is pay to play.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a very talented soccer player.
Get rid of pay to
play. They have to pay $3,000 a year to play for their club team.
Get rid of pay to play.
Well, that sucks.
Get rid of it.
You're not playing with the best teams, you know? There's a lot of nuance and discussion to this that's beyond us. But I like I said, I think it was important to talk about. We'll obviously have more. Probably by tonight,
we'll
probably have another team.
We can
that
do a whole podcast talk
yeah.
about stuff like that. But let's
yeah.
get back onto the
I wanted
Sixers.
To hit on the playoff teams around us because we're getting, obviously, now post-All-Star break. We talked about this before. We're getting into the situation now where we kind of have to be looking at other teams. We're doing fine. I think we're yeah. on the right track. Obviously, we went against the Bulls. That's great. But there are teams behind us and in front of us that I think it's good to keep track of and how they're doing. So Pistons lost last night. Which was nice. They lost to the Celtics. And what else? The Heat lost to the Pelicans as well. Anthony Davis had a crazy stat line last
he
night.
He went off.
He had like 45, 15, and 10 or something
yeah.
like that.
Well,
nuts. And the Bucks beat the Raptors. So the Heat and Pistons being right behind us and the Bucks being directly in front of us. Those are why I mentioned those teams at this moment.
Well, the Bucks have a couple games on us, but they also have played more games than us too.
Yeah.
So,
but they beat the Raptors in overtime.
That's
a good
that's
win for them.
Huge. It's a great win for them. I'm not really too worried about the Heat or the Pistons.
I'm worried about the Heat. If I'm being honest, very well coached.
Yeah.
There's just something about Spoelstra that you just coaching always like good coaching always helps, and especially when you get late into the season and what essentially start to become playoff games. That's something you want to have on your side, and I think they have that. Pistons, you could use that argument, but in a converse sense, I guess, with Stan Van Gundy, maybe not the best coach anymore.
Yeah.
But they do, I think they,
I mean,
they have some really
nice
good
little,
talent. Obviously, Drummond having
a
career
nice
here, and now
yeah.
Blake Griffin. But.
But, you know, I think, you know, we have the chance to move up a couple spots. Pacers have been playing very well.
Yeah.
The Bucks have been playing very well. It's going to be tough. You know, the games against the Bucks that we have later on this season are going to be very important mm-hmm. games for us. It's going to be tough to, you know, shut down Giannis, but you have to be able to shut down just the rest of the
team.
Did
you see Embiid told him to trust the process to come to Philly?
If you guys didn't see it, I don't know how you – if you live under a rock, you didn't see this, but that's the only way. News came out. There were reports where Joel Embiid said that when he was talking to Giannis, told him to trust the process and come play in Philly.
I'm sure more as a joke than anything. But
yeah, it brought up a lot of speculation. But
speaking of speculation, though,
absolutely ridiculous if he would come to him.
A lot more LeBron to Philly murmurs
yes,
this week. Bill
yes.
Simmons had an article. So the Ringer was doing like this LeBron versus MJ week, and in it he discussed LeBron that this was the best path for him actually was to go to Philly.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that LeBron wants to play till what he's 40, 41,
yeah, he
something
wants to
like
play
that
for probably 6 or 7 more years.
And as he gets older, he won't be able to take the same sort of toll on his body and with his game.
He's already now.
And you see it now.
You've seen him coast during the regular season at times.
It would be very helpful to him to go to a team that's young.
And has stars that can carry that load.
And very talented young core and a good cast of players around them. And if you just place LeBron in there, let Ben be the facilitator, and the floor opens up for LeBron to do what he does, and that's scary.
I don't know what the team looks like with LeBron on this team. I don't know how that would all work.
This is how.
And I don't know cap situation either. Obviously at that point we'd be playing the luxury tax.
We have cap space, I think, though.
We have cap space next year if you were to come this summer to sign a max contract. Then we'd be at the cap. And that's without re-signing Redick. Then in what, 2 years, we got to pay Ben. The year after that, depending on what happens with Fultz, we're going to have to pay him. You know, like, it's I don't know that I would ever want to turn down LeBron or say, no, I don't want him on the team. But there's a lot of questions still be had. Whether or not it's even happening is the biggest, obviously.
And there were also other rumors. I mean, this I don't think would ever happen, but Kawhi coming to the Sixers as well. There were little talks about
there
that.
There was a lot of discontent, though, it seems, between Kawhi and the Spurs.
Yeah, well, he basically told them that he's not going to play.
Yeah, so he's
healthy and back from his...
Is he healthy, though? Because I thought the issue with them was that he went to his own specialist who said one thing and the Spurs team is saying another, and that there was some difference between surgery or
this
rehab.
This sounds like a Sixers problem,
the Sixers problem
this
is that...
This sounds like some Sixers...
The Sixers problem would be, he bumped his toe in practice today. No worries, no problems. A week later, so he has a broken metatarsal, three different places. We're sending him to Dubai. We got this great specialist out there. No need to worry. He'll be back in 3 months. All-Star game, he'll be back. No worries. All-Star game comes around. We haven't heard news since then. All we've seen is like Snapchat updates, and that's it. Yeah, we don't know what happened with him. We haven't seen him in months, actually. This is very much a Derrick Rose situation. Please, if you see this, please call us.
That's funny.
That's more the Sixers situation. But no, there seems to be some miscommunication there. I personally, though, I don't see Kawhi leaving Spurs.
No,
I don't see that.
Neither do I.
I saw the most ridiculous.
It's fun to think about, though. LeBron and the
Sixers. I saw the most ridiculous thing. Somebody put a lineup up, and it was Simmons, Kawhi, or Fultz, Kawhi, LeBron, Embiid, and then Saric, TJ, and Cove on the bench.
Where's Simmons in this?
Simmons is the point guard.
Oh, you said? Oh,
I said Simmons.
Oh, I thought you like restarted. Yeah.
You understand how ridiculous that would be if somehow we pulled off some sort of trade, but I think if we pulled off a trade for Kawhi...
Let's live in the realm of...
if we pulled off a trade for Kawhi, I don't think Fultz or Sarge would be on
our... I can't imagine us trading for Kawhi and what we'd have to give up to get Kawhi. He's the best two-way player
That's
in the
what
league,
I'm saying.
Even with an injury. I don't see it, but Magic tonight?
That easy win.
We sure hope so. We thought the Bulls would be an easy win, if we're being honest.
Well, the last time the Magic played, they played the Knicks, and the Knicks ran over them.
They did. They did get run over by the Knicks.
I'm talking about the Knicks. The New York Knicks.
Hey, man.
Dude. Like, do you want to... The New York Knicks, 11th. 11th.
Magic tonight. So we're saying a win tonight against the Magic.
Yes.
Wizards tomorrow. How you feeling about that one?
That's going to be a great game, I think.
Embiid on a back-to-back?
Embiid on a back-to-back, as long as, you know, he...
Yeah.
Tonight,
God willing.
Tonight, I don't want to see him flopping all around the court was in
Chicago. Little too much into the stands. Actually,
I was afraid. He's pulling some very Shaq
nervous
moves over there.
I think
there,
it's just
because
he's
everybody.
So huge that anytime he goes to the ground, you're just automatically afraid of not only him but the people around him.
It's funny because like
Chicago's has a lot of skyscrapers. An earthquake there would not be pretty relaxed.
When Shaq used to do it, people thought it was funny, but that's also because Shaq was massive and it
his
was Shaq.
Physical humor
when
about him.
Joel Embiid does it
because. He has the injury history.
We all hold our breath. we freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
But as long as he, you know, he can get his minutes, I don't think he's going to play he'll play through the third quarter, and then when the Sixers get their lead, they'll probably...
Oh,
you
wow.
know,
I'm very confident about this.
Yeah. It's the Magic.
No, I thought we were talking about the Wizards.
No, I'm still talking about the Magic game right now.
Okay.
You know, they go up, they take out Simmons and they take out Embiid and let the rest of the guys run. And
I hope you're right.
Let TLC get a little bit of time and keep Trevor Booker out the game. But then, you know, make sure they're healthy for when they go and play the Wizards, and, you know, make sure that we hold Bradley Beal to under 25, and
which is no easy task, but
yeah.
Looking forward to it. A good weekend of basketball.
We've been
6-game win streak. Won 11 straight at home, so we should be taking care of the Magic.
We've been playing well against the Wizards too. I think the last two times we played them, we won. So fact check me.
I'm holding up my fingers here, but I think we're wrapping up this section. Yeah. We're moving on to some Flyer stuff. So thank you for tuning in or listening on our SoundCloud.
Not yet. SoundCloud isn't live, but
is on SoundCloud.
If you catch up on Soundcloud.
Is that your clout cough?
Sorry, I had a long night last night. I'm still
Are you in Fishtown?
No, I wasn't. We were in Center City.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm bouncing out. Dylan's hopping in. Talk some Flyers who are winning right now on the power play.
And Matt will be back for Top Bins.
Yeah, we're doing later Champions on today. League and European.
A little bit of Champions League, a little bit of Europa League draw. As you can
don't
see.
Don't want to spoil it just yet, though.
We'll talk about it. Yeah. So
you know where to find us.
Stay tuned for that. And welcome, Mr. Dylan. Dylan Mazzola. I like the jersey.
Yeah.
I really like – that's a really nice one.
I went there last year.
Yeah, that's nice.
I drove to Pittsburgh for it. To watch them lose. That was a good $400 spent, if not more.
All right. So, afternoon skate. Flyers game on right now. They are up 2-1 against Ottawa right now. What are your thoughts right now with the game? You were sitting here watching.
I was definitely watching. I was trying hard to be quiet for you guys, giving some great intakes on the Sixers. But – yeah, the Flyers, interesting game. I mean, when two defensemen score for you in one period, that's kind of impressive.
Hegg scored the second one?
Yes. Yeah. It's second goal this year, so that's kind of amazing. And it was a snipe. Yeah, it was a snipe. So that's definitely positives. The goal they scored, I wasn't actually watching. I was trying to do some research for this and for Sixers. Mm-hmm. But I believe Gudas was to blame because I got a bunch of notifications saying what was he doing on the ice. Which doesn't surprise me. The Flyers are trying to score right now, currently. But, yeah, I mean, so far it's a good period. You got two goals in the first period, like I said, both by defensemen. Sadly, Ottawa was able to score, but still 2-1 game. Plenty of game left. Hopefully they can...
And they've been looking good. They've been aside from that one overtime loss, I mean, they've still kept it up, at least.
I mean, if they win today, that'll make 5 in a row, I believe.
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive.
Biggest news, however, coming out of the Flyers is that we have a goalie.
Yeah, it's
we have
crazy
our goalie. So last week we talked about the Peter Mrazek rumors. Well, those rumors are true.
Yeah, he's here.
Flyers acquired him for a conditional draft pick.
What else was
in that deal?
I forget entirely. It's two draft picks, and it's conditional being.
Based off how well he plays,
I think it's only 5 starts,
mm-hmm.
and if he plays well and carries us to an additional round in the playoffs or all the way, the pick this year it turns into a second round pick.
Yeah,
and same principle next year. If we re-sign him, the pick for next year's draft, I think increases, or they get that pick. Yeah. If we don't re-sign him, I think they only get 1 pick.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool trade because it's a positive. Like if we, you know, knock on wood, get to the Stanley Cup, then obviously he's doing something right, and he deserves to potentially stay here.
Especially when we were kind of lacking in, you know, making moves for a goalie and then getting another goalie injured.
Yeah, it's true.
And kind of being with our backs against the wall and mm-hmm. kind of being at the mercy of whatever any team wants for their goalie.
Yeah, I mean, I was texting you, I was texting Kyle, I was very scared because as an opposing GM, you're licking your lips, you know, you're mm-hmm. saying, okay, they have no goalie, or they have one goalie, which is basically no goalie with Neubrith, not to, you know, bash him too much, and he goes down, and then the GMs are saying, okay, well, they have zero goalies. So like you just said, we can, you know, try to get an arm and a leg for him. But the trade for what it is and what it can be is not, it's not bad at all.
Yeah, not bad at all. I mean, and Alex Lyon, too, you can't discredit him for how he's been playing since he had to step into that role.
No, the game.
He's looking more comfortable.
Yeah, the game that Newbie got pulled after, I think it was like the first period, second period, he stepped in and made 25 shots, you know, or 25 shots. Who by saves, and he got the win, so.
And, I mean, last night, or not last night, two nights ago.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, you were at the game?
Saw Peter Mrazek's first game as a Flyer.
And how did he look? Because I didn't get to watch the game because I was watching the Sixers.
Well, like I think I told one of you guys, there was four shots between the two teams the first period. It was kind of dull, null. And then after that picked up, I mean, the Blue Jackets got a chance within the first minute of the second period, and they scored, I think, in the first 10 minutes of the second period. But he looked good. He's a very aggressive goaltender, and by that, people don't watch hockey too much. Like, he will come out of his net to face the opposing shooter. Often, I was watching highlights of it, like a foot, 2 feet out of his net.
You don't see a lot of goalies do that anymore.
No, a lot of them like to, at any level, kind of not cower, but they like to back up in the net and that
try to take up more space that way.
Yeah.
But I like it. I mean, I come from a lacrosse background and seeing, you know, that's one thing that goalies try to do. Not to an extreme extent, but they try to step out in front of the net to make it appear like they're
taking up more. It makes the shooter second guess themselves because they're kind of like, whoa, this guy's like, you know, challenging me. Like,
and if you're good at it, you can become locked down.
Technically speaking, you know, like going backwards, you know, may create less of an angle or space, but going forward is the same thing because you're blocking off certain angles from shooting.
Exactly.
And it just really makes the guy think about where he's going to shoot and, you know, the play he's about to make. But yeah, the Flyers, it's incredible. They actually made a trade because more so as a buyer than a seller.
Yeah,
because the past couple years they've been in and out of the playoffs. They haven't made any big splashes. I mean, granted, if both our goalies were healthy, they probably wouldn't have made this trade. In all honesty, but it's good to see them, or it's good to see Hextall making these moves because I believe he said something along the lines of, "I did this for the players to show them that they can go and get it." So I think that's a good morale boost. He's telling the people, the coach, Drew, all the players that, like, I believe in you, and, like, this is for your hard work.
Yeah. And also, I think it's a great GM move because he decided, you know, the Red Wings probably wanted somebody else with that deal, and he was like, nah, we're going to do this. We're going to slap a conditional on the draft picks, and we're going to call it a day.
Yeah.
And they said, all right, that's fine. And I'm happy about it. I'm not happy how Simmons is hurt now, too.
But I think he's only out. Initially, it was 2-3 weeks. And me and my dad have a theory about that. Is I think the way he played all year, he kind of looked off, maybe injured. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's injured, but he's finally just resting.
That's true. We could do that.
I mean, granted, you wouldn't want to rest one of your best players in the crucial, you know, time to solidify that top playoff spot or seed. But at the same time, you also want to rest him before playoffs comes. Yeah. So either way, I think it could help in the long run.
Shout out to Alex saying that a couple nights ago they were playing like it was and one hockey.
Yeah, he's a new to the whole hockey.
Yeah, I saw him talking about it. He was like, my first game, and I don't know, was it your first game? I'm not sure.
I think he kind of watched it, but he kind of like beat around the bush, like he didn't pay attention. But now he's definitely focused on it.
It's funny.
And it's good to get a new fan.
It's a good time to get into Flyers hockey right now if you haven't watched it. So
it's a good time to get into Philly sports.
Yes, it is.
They're all in different stages of success. Obviously, the Eagles just won. The Flyers and the Sixers are having playoff berths.
Yeah. The Phillies actually are right now in a preseason game. They're up 5-2 against Baltimore.
Yeah, and
they're looking good too.
They're actually, I believe, I saw a tweet. Their odds for winning I think it was like 10-1 to win the division, the Phillies.
Phillies?
Yeah, which was
that's better odds than I would think.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, like I just said, you know, like sports here.
It's a great time to be a Philly sports fan. As much as I'd like to keep a good thing going, how long do you think this unbeaten run since the Eagles won the Super Bowl in regulation do you think we go?
Well, technically the Flyers lost in OT, but right?
Regulation, though.
Oh, regulation. Regulation. Okay, right.
So we haven't lost in regulation. We lost in OT in a shootout.
I mean, you think the Sixers are going to lose first? I think the Flyers are going to lose first.
I think the Flyers are going to lose first before the Sixers. However,
probably.
It's just because the Flyers sometimes can
play down to competition.
You see the inconsistency they show sometimes.
Well, to be...
Well, the Sixers do, yeah. too. The Sixers play down to competition as well.
It must be a Philly thing besides the Eagles this
Matt's
year.
Over here shaking his head because he's going to make me feel bad when the Magic make it a game.
He's got a point. But, I mean, to be honest, I was kind of afraid of this game going on right now because Ottawa just traded their, you know, first, second line center to Pittsburgh.
That trade was crazy.
Yeah, it's a three-team deal, and they're benching one of their lower pairing defensemen, Johnny Oduya, longtime Blackhawk, just, you know, for the trade deadline, stay healthy, which is kind of crazy now because go back 5-10 years ago, teams didn't really bench players for trading like all too often, and now this year, like the Rangers, to get a little off topic, they benched like three of their best players. It was Grabner, Nash, and one of their defensemen, and they called up like five guys from the AHL, and they said, okay, well, we're not risking anything, which is smart from a GM point of view. But yeah, I thought the Flyers were going to lose this game today because, like I just said, they're benching a defenseman, they traded the center, their team is Ottawa's not very good this year.
Yeah.
Craig Anderson, who's usually a great goaltender, I was rooting for him last year against the Penguins, obviously. He's not playing that well this year either, so... And hopefully they pull the win out, knock on wood, but this is the game that they would ruin the streak.
This is one of those games where the Flyers would lose, but they're looking good right now. So that's,
good. It's 2-1, so and anything can happen. Hopefully they can pull this one out. I don't want them to lose just yet.
Yeah, and especially against a lesser team like this.
Yeah.
I don't want them to drop points. But
points are points.
Exactly. We got some Flyers trade rumors with the trade deadline approaching on Monday, right?
Yeah, so they're initially we talked about with the Mrazek rumors that Flyers had scouts in Buffalo, but that was for a goalie. But now that the Mrazek deal happened, apparently there have been scouts not at the Sabres, but the Sabres scouts were in our minor league system. So I think there could be a potential deal there still with prospects. There's only three players that really strike out on the Sabres, and they're all forwards. It would be Sam Reinhart, who's like a young player, kind of similar to Mrazek's situation, where he kind of lost his way. He's going to lose his spot to potential prospects that Buffalo has because they've been, for lack of better words, bad in the last several years, so they've have high draft picks. So he's slated to be, or was slated to be, like a second line, maybe first line player, and now if this new prospect, I think his name's Casey Mittelstadt, is going to come and play out maybe next year. Reinhart will be bumped down, so people think maybe he's a trade option for the Flyers because after this season, we're losing a couple players. No one big, but the free agency, we might have a void for a third-line center because you're going to do Coots, Patrick, and then Reinhart potentially. The other player is Vander Kane. That's kind of old news, but that keeps circling around.
I'd like to see him there.
I would too, but it depends for the price because the Rangers – or the Devils got a second-round draft pick and a prospect for Grabner.
Yeah.
And they're similar-type players. I think Grabner had 27 goals. I mean, Kane, I think, is more skilled than Grabner, but depends on the price. If it's a first-round draft pick, I don't want that for a rental player.
Yeah.
So, and then the last guy...
If we could give a second-round draft pick and a prospect, would you take that?
Maybe. I'm not sure. It depends on the prospect that you move. I mean, it's not like it's a waste. Because hopefully the Flyers go very far and that pick ends up being like a later round, second round draft pick, but it depends. And then like the last guy on Buffalo was, I believe, Pouliot, who used to be decent, like a 30-40 point guy. Towards the end of his career, he's, you know, around 30-ish. He's like a bottom six scorer. And I think just trade in general for the Flyers, if they're going to make a trade, that's the kind of person they'll acquire. Like a bottom six scorer or just player, someone to upgrade the fourth line, basically.
Just a veteran to help out the lower line, yeah.
Something that won't cost a first or a second or even a third. And the Flyer, oh, it's never mind. It's replays. I thought it was, that was live.
Gosh,
I got excited. I was like, oh, it's a breakaway. But no, it's a replay. But no, and there's another rumor circling around that they had loose interest in the defenseman that's benched for Ottawa, Johnny Oduya. So maybe he's benched because he's going to be a Flyer after the game's over.
That would be cool.
would be kind of cool. How's that work? Like, Hextall walks in, like, congrats, you're on our team now.
Hey,
like, I don't know, but I mean, there's been some weird things. Like, a couple, Matt Duchesne plays for Ottawa this year, literally was playing a game for his other team, the Avalanche, and literally just snuck out when there's a TV commercial, and that's how he got traded. He's like he knew it was coming. And there's been times where he gets tapped on the shoulder. That's true. Matt made a good point. He's ex-Devil.
Ex-Devil. Matt's also an ex-Devil fan.
Yeah, yes. I said that.
Long time Blackhawk.
For a couple of years, he won one of the cups with them. He played for the Devils, Blackhawks, Stars, and now Ottawa. He's older. He's like 35, 6, 7, so he's getting there. Probably his last.
6, 7.
I don't know exactly. I'm trying to remember how old he is. I watch a lot of hockey, but there's a lot of players, so I know generally how much they make and how old they are, but I'm a little off.
That's all right.
It's okay. Yeah. There's quite a few players in the NHL.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, so basically, to sum it up, if the Flyers make a trade, it won't be Blockbuster. It'll be for a fifth or sixth pairing defenseman or a bottom line scorer.
Yeah. So how do you think the rest of the season is going to look now?
We're not losing a single game, Dom.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. No, we're going to lose. So I think depending upon injuries, hopefully they can stay healthy, because that's usually a bugaboo for a lot of things. They can end up probably winning at least, I would say, probably like 60% of the games.
Yeah. No, and we can only look forward to it. I mean, they're looking good right now.
Yeah.
They're winning right now, like literally right now.
Yeah.
As we speak, and hopefully they can keep that good thing going, and we can make a little run in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, think back to 2010. No one thought we would get as far as we did, but we did.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if it wasn't for one man named Michael Layton, we potentially would have a cup in the Flyers' history recently, but it's okay. I'm not still mad about that or sad.
Oh, we'll get one soon enough.
Yeah, next couple of years, I feel.
Yeah. So it looks like we pretty much talked about everything we need to talk about today.
Yeah, because both teams are winning so much, there's only so much you can talk about.
Yeah, there's not a lot we can complain about just yet. There's not big news. Once we get closer to playoff time for both sports and everything, and you know, the team starts making a couple decisions or we actually lose a game.
Yeah, and the Flyers are doing well, so they're not sellers, they're buyers. So like it's a different ball game. Yeah,
it's great. But I just want to thank everybody. We got a question real quick. Let's do this before we get off of here. Why in the game do the Flyers have one player kind of posted up directly in front of the net when they're on offense? Is it to block the goalie's vision, or is it common in hockey?
Alex, you actually answered your question in your question. the player will sit in front of the net to screen or block the goalie, or potentially tip the puck or deflect it into the net.
Get on a rebound or something like
that. I'm not very skilled when I play hockey. That's usually the role I play.
Yeah. Alex, let me put it like this. You're a lacrosse player. You know how normally we stick a player right in the middle if we're on a power play? Same exact thing. You put that guy in there, he kind of moves around and is a pest for the defense inside. And when they dump the puck in or take a shot on net or do whatever, he's there to screen the goalie, like you said.
Yep.
Get on rebounds. Maybe you can even, you know, slot it into him real quick and deflection or
yeah,
a little tapper.
Simmons is known to do that every once in a while.
Simmons is pretty good at that. So, awesome. I like that. Real-time responses. So, this brings us to the end of today's episode.
Yeah.
If you want more bonus content, stay tuned. Go on my Instagram.
For some soccer.
At Dom Pont on Instagram. And Top Bins will be broadcasted live on there. Matt and I have some Champions League to talk about. Europa League draw. I'm very excited
about
that.
Go Liverpool.
And next, we'll see you on Wednesday. Also, don't forget, March 11th, we're having Jamil Demby, NFL draft, NFL prospect.
He's the man.
Vineland native, our boy. University of Maine offensive lineman. He's going to be calling in and joining us. We're going to have a great show lined up for you then. So make sure you tune into that. Make sure you tune into Wednesday. We got some more Eagles, a little bit of Eagles, more Phillies talk.
Yeah, spring training baseball going on. Season.
So
dingers.
Dingers all day. From everybody here at Underground Sports Philadelphia, I'm Dominic Ponteri.
I'm Dylan.
Thank you for watching. Have a great weekend.
Peace.